The yeah. fight is absolutely not over. No, 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 no. Right? Hey, it wasn't even that. It was like a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, when I remember back in 2021, everyone was telling, yo, Franco, be quiet on carbon taxes. They're here to stay, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, right.
We're the Canadian Taxpayers Federation, where we are fighting for lower taxes, less waste, and more accountable government. I'm Chris Sims. I'm here in Alberta. I'm joined by my friend Franco Terrazano. Franco, there's some stuff going on between our two bunkers, man. This memorandum of understanding, the MOU, has been signed by Prime Minister Mark Carney and Alberta Premier Danielle Smith. On the surface, it sounds great. They're talking about things like saying yes to pipelines, suspending the West Coast tanker ban, getting rid of the production cap, all of these amazing things. But there is a huge but here, okay? It's about the industrial carbon tax. Carney flew out here, signed the agreement, and then turned around to the media and said, yeah, it's going to be 6 times higher. What's your take on this so far?
Well, let's just throw to a clip of Carney, right? Yeah. The press asked him about the hidden carbon tax on Canadian business. Folks, trigger warning, we're going to play a clip for you right now. Listen to Prime Minister Mark Carney's answer.
But at its core is tightening the tier system, which is the industrial carbon price system here in Alberta, to a level of at least $130 with a pass price from there. What does that mean? It means more than a 6 times increase in the price, industrial price of carbon, from its effective level, which is much lower than the headline level, the effective level, to the level that's committed in the agreement.
Well, there you go, folks. There it is, right? Carney, to the press that very same day after signing the agreement with Alberta Premier Danielle Smith. You know, just to quote him, it means more than a 6 times increase in the industrial carbon tax, right? So that hidden carbon tax on Canadian business is going to be cranked up by Carney. Now, let's get into the nuts and bolts in a second here, but let me just illustrate a couple things. First, a carbon tax is a carbon tax is a carbon tax. It doesn't matter what type of lipstick politicians want to put on their carbon tax pig. A carbon tax makes your life more expensive. It hurts our economy, and it doesn't work, folks, okay? A carbon tax is a carbon tax is a carbon tax. Carney's hidden carbon tax on Canadian business is the worst of all worlds. Higher prices for you, fewer jobs for Canadians.
Yeah, it's making a lot of waves here in Alberta, Franco. Shortly after they signed that agreement, which was all bells and whistles and baby kissing and stuff, they had their UCP, United Conservative Party, the governing party of Alberta, they had their AGM. They had their AGM up in Edmonton. And Premier Danielle Smith, super popular within her party, and she was getting standing ovations for a bunch of stuff. But whenever she started mentioning things like, see, we signed the agreement. See, our relationship works. See, it's working to work with Ottawa. The boos came out. These are party members attending this meeting. This is not just the general public. And so it's getting, I would say, a mixed response here. I think a lot of people in Alberta are really cautious. They've seen this movie before. Anyone who's watched the Charlie Brown cartoon knows that Lucy sets up that football only to pull it away at the last second and Charlie Brown winds up on his back. A lot of people are concerned about this, but I'm going to admit something. I'm a bit worried. Am I just a hammer that's seeing a nail everywhere? We've been fighting the carbon tax so long for so hard that I'm wondering, is this as big a deal? I think it's a huge deal.
No, it is a huge deal. I mean, look, it's right in the agreement.
Yeah.
Right? Right in these memorandum of understanding. It's right there. We'll ramp up to a minimum effective credit price of $130 a ton. Right? That means that's a whole lot of bureaucrat jargon, but it means the industrial carbon tax will increase to $130 per ton. And folks, you just saw the clip of Carney the very same day during a press conference saying that it's going to mean a six times increase in the industrial carbon tax, right? You just heard it straight from the Prime Minister. And look, here's what Carney's trying to sell Canadians on. It's a bogus idea, but we heard it even during the election campaign where Carney essentially said like, oh, don't worry, folks. It's just going to be the big businesses that pay the cost of this carbon tax. Like, yeah, right. I mean, unfortunately for Carney, Canadians aren't stupid. Léger, a national polling firm, shows that Canadians don't buy that narrative from Carney, right? The Léger poll that showed that 70% of Canadians say that businesses are going to pass on most or some of the cost of the industrial carbon tax to consumers. Yeah, no duh. The poll also showed that just 9% of Canadians believe, Carney, that businesses are going to pay most of the cost of his industrial carbon tax. But there's another element here. Like, hey, folks, like, get real. Look south of the border. The White House, regardless of who is the president, whether it's Democrat, Republican, they're not imposing carbon taxes, right? Yeah. So we're hammering Canadian businesses on our side of the border with these higher carbon taxes. Well, like, if you're a fertilizer plant, are you going to, you know, increase production in Manitoba? Or are you just going to go south of the border where there is no industrial carbon tax and increase production there?
Yeah, big time. I want to stress this. Alberta's just the first province that Carney came after, okay? Other provinces are going to be severely pressured for this industrial carbon tax thing.
Yeah, great point. This is all across Canada. Yeah. This is all across Canada. Let me just go back, Chris. So this is the first time we've kind of sort of started to hear about Carney's plan on how high his industrial carbon tax will go. Of course, he still hasn't been transparent with Canadians, actually saying how much is this is going to cost on your heating bill your every time you go to the gas pumps. But in budget 2025, Carney makes it very clear that he's going to be increasing, strengthening, whatever word you want to call it, the industrial carbon tax in Canada. So folks, this does not just apply to Alberta. Get ready, because Carney has given every indication that all Canadians will be forced to pay the higher hidden carbon tax on Canadian business.
And we're not just, you know, picking and choosing a couple quotes here. The guy wrote an entire book, which was largely based around things like carbon taxes. Carbon taxes in all shapes and forms, including crazy stuff like global carbon taxes on shipping and carbon tax tariffs. This industrial hidden carbon tax on businesses is for real, folks. It's so for real, he got Alberta to sign on to it. Now, I'm just going to admit something here. It's causing a lot of rumbling here in Alberta because so many people, Franco, want things like pipelines built by private companies without taxpayers' money out to the coast so that we can ship stuff. They want to have the production cap lifted, which the PBO reported was going to cost us tens of billions of dollars if we didn't lift that production cap. We want things like the dumb green energy rules to be lifted so that we can have things like gas-fired power plants to have cheaper electricity. All those things sound so good. But the price tag here that I'm looking at has got me freaked out. 6 times higher a carbon tax. Now, some folks, you know this so well from your time here in Alberta, Franco, and from the book you wrote, frankly, on this topic, okay, on the carbon tax. So many folks are trying to tell me and spin me here in Alberta saying, well, the big oil companies are in favor of it. They were in favor of the consumer carbon tax that Rachel Notley put through too, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. Yeah. And it's all in that book, Axing the Tax, The Rise and Fall of Canada's Carbon Tax, by yours truly. Hey, folks, Christmas right around the corner. Shameless plug. Get it on Amazon. No, yeah, that's exactly right. Like when Notley first brought in her provincial carbon tax, that was the former premier of Alberta, the NDP premier at the time. She was with big business, right? And like, look, some businesses, and I don't want to paint too broad of a brush, but why would some businesses support carbon taxes? Well, number one, it's a way to hurt their competitors more, right? Especially if you're, you know, one of the bigger guys, you know, it might hurt you, but it'll hurt your competitors even more than it hurts you, right? That's one reason why businesses tend to, you know, sometimes support a tax or regulation, even though you might not think so right away. But another reason, especially with the industrial carbon tax, it's like this slush fund of money, right? A tax on one business, then the money just gets sloshed around, handed out to another business for whatever venture they might want. But you're so right. All of this was really reminiscent to me because I know there was a business group that held Carney just after the signing of the agreement. And it was so reminiscent to me of the earlier days of the Notley government in Alberta when she brought in the provincial carbon tax out there in Wild Rose Country. And you had a whole lot of big business groups clapping like seals.
Exactly. Now, I got to say, I'm hearing from some proponents, and again, on the face of it, the MOU sounds great, except for the carbon taxi stuff, which sounds like a big bloody problem. So I'm hearing from some folks telling me this. Okay, this is not the same carbon tax that you're used to. This is a closed circle of basically monopoly play money that is being passed back and forth between a couple of companies. Nothing to see here, folks. It isn't going to actually make stuff cost more. I put that question to very prominent economist Jack Mintz, and I'm paraphrasing, he basically said, that doesn't make any sense.
That doesn't make any sense. Look, folks, no. If it sounds like spin, it's probably spin. Okay? That was the exact same argument that Trudeau made on his consumer carbon tax. Yeah, remember that, folks?
Good
I know
point.
We don't want to think about it, but that was exactly the argument, right? Oh, carbon tax and then rebates. There you go. Everyone's rich. It's the exact same type of argument. Look, the industrial carbon tax is actually extremely damaging because, number one, it's going to make life more expensive. Every single carbon tax does. In fact, that's not a bug of the carbon tax. It is a feature of the carbon tax to make life more expensive by making the necessities of life more expensive. Look, when a government carbon taxes utilities, that makes your home heating bill more expensive. When a government carbon taxes refineries, that makes your gasoline and diesel more expensive. When the government carbon taxes fertilizer plants, well, that increases cost for farmers, and that makes your grocery haul more expensive. So number one, makes life more expensive. But number two, it is very damaging economically, okay? Look, the United States, among many other countries, do not impose these national carbon taxes, right? So as we mentioned, if you're this investor, if you're this business person, where are you going to increase production? The place that has the industrial carbon tax or the place that does not? Okay, so the industrial carbon tax will push Canada's entrepreneurs, investors, businesses to cut production here and set up shop south of the border, right? So the industrial carbon tax is really the worst of both worlds. Higher prices, a worse economy, fewer jobs.
And it's so hard to see it. This is the
and
case.
Well, that's why politicians love it.
Yeah.
Right? That's why politicians love it, because it's less transparent than even Trudeau's consumer carbon tax, right? It gets hidden, right? They hope that you don't notice that their carbon tax is making your life more expensive. And then they hope they can just blame it on some other type of scapegoat.
Yeah, exactly. I will point out Dr. Jack Mintz, who teaches at the University of Calgary, super smart.
He was one of my professors.
Oh, was he really? I didn't know that.
He used to be a professor of mine, yeah.
Well, you can explain some of the stuff he was saying then. A little bit of it was kind of going over my head. He didn't say fungible, but came close. He was really good on the show, and he wrote this piece in the Financial Post where he is sounding the alarm bell specifically about both the carbon taxes, they often are called carbon credits and carbon prices, but the carbon taxes in this agreement and the cost, the taxpayer cost of carbon capture storage. He was sounding the alarm about those two things because in his argument, this could cost upwards of around $10 extra US per barrel to produce the stuff. And so his worry, his concern, is that Alberta was kind of pricing itself out of a market. What did you think about his piece there, Franco?
Yeah, so I would say it's you know, the blame isn't just on Alberta. I mean, Ottawa
needs
to take a huge chunk of the blame here. And what he's essentially saying is that these energy taxes and energy regulations are making Canada less competitive.
Yeah.
Right, exactly what we've just been talking about, right? And look, we need Ottawa to get out of the way. We do need to be able to have the private sector, job creators, build major natural resource projects here in Canada, including pipelines. We need that. Think about it this way, okay? Since 2015, Canada has seen nearly $670 billion in natural resource projects suspended or canceled. $670 billion worth since 2015. Now, in any economy, there's many different factors going on. What was a absolutely huge factor in that? The federal government. Okay. We have the consumer carbon tax. We have industrial carbon tax. We have the hidden carbon tax that Trudeau buried in fuel regulations, which is still here. The no more pipelines law, the discriminatory tanker ban. Obviously, the government was flirting with the production cap on oil and gas. The federal government rejected the Northern Gateway pipeline. The federal government removed the regulatory goalposts on the Energy East pipeline. And I could go on and on and on and on. So yes, we do need to build major natural resource projects here in Canada. And by we, I don't mean taxpayers. I mean, the private sector, right? The job creators, we need to be able to attract private investment. And you know what else we need? Ottawa to get out of the way.
Yeah, big time. Big time. Now, I will say we have a couple more clips here that we can throw to if you want to, Franco. Kudos A to Conservative leader Pierre Poilievre for digging his heels on this and remaining standing firm on things like the industrial carbon tax, the huge hidden industrial carbon tax. So thank you for that. Also, I don't know if you saw that clip of Saskatchewan Premier Scott Moe. He stood up in the legislature and said, yeah, we're going to remain carbon tax free here in the province of Saskatchewan. Yeah.
I haven't. No, you want to yeah, play it right
I will.
Here?
Let's tee
it?
This up. So this is just like yesterday. Okay. It's super important that we get folks on the record and that we credit people where it's due when they stand firm on this stuff. Let's listen to Saskatchewan Premier Scott Moe.
Mr. Speaker, on the floor of this assembly, there is but one party, Mr. Speaker, that has been in opposition to the carbon tax since day one, Mr. Speaker, continuing up to and including today, Mr. Speaker. And I'm proud to once again say on the floor of this assembly that Saskatchewan is the only province in the nation of Canada that today is carbon tax free, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, as we move forward, we are talking to our Liberal government, and unlike the members opposite, Mr. Speaker, who believe that the only deal that you can make with the federal Liberals is a deal to put the carbon tax on Saskatchewan people, we actually feel that there is an opportunity to make a deal with the federal Liberals to take the carbon tax off Saskatchewan people, families, and industries, Mr. Speaker. Again, Mr. Speaker, we see the members opposite, when faced with the opportunity to be part of the solution, always choosing to be part of the problem.
Okay, so that was super important. And I want to be clear here, okay? I'm going to level with you. Smith wouldn't have done this without Ottawa breathing down her neck, okay? If this were up to her, I don't think she would have gone along with this. The problem is it's going to cost taxpayers money. And we're super concerned also that it's going to your point, Franco, make it so that private investors don't want to come here and do business because they see warnings that is coming from things like economist Jack Mintz. This is a twofold problem. Now, to be fair, okay, Premier Smith, when she mentioned things like working with Ottawa and things are going to work out fine, she was getting some boos at the AGM. In her final speech, though, it was a different tone change. She quoted Ronald Reagan when she said, I'm going to trust but verify. And boy, oh boy, am I going to be verifying. It was a bigger tone of caution. She was talking about getting the rug pulled out from under Albertans before, again and again and again. And she was going to be careful. Let's listen here.
Now, my friends, I am under no illusions. This agreement is just the first step in this journey. There is much hard work ahead of us, and the federal government must earn back the trust of Albertans as we move through the next stages of this process. After all, the people of Alberta have, of course, had the rug pulled out from under them too many times to count over the past 10 years. So I will take the advice of a great U.S. President, Ronald Reagan, who said when dealing with a former adversary, trust but verify. And on behalf of Albertans, I will be verifying and holding Alberta or Ottawa accountable. As you know, every step of the way, you can absolutely count on that.
Suffice to say, these are some moving parts. We have until what, April 1st? Is that when that carbon tax kicks in? That's what I was reading in that MOU.
No, that's not super clear. That's okay. An agreement on industrial carbon tax will kick in there. Okay, so let's end here.
Okay.
Let's just end here. Because I have a couple concluding thoughts. So number one, and I just want to reiterate, we do need to be able to build major natural resource projects, including pipelines. And by that, I mean, we do need to have a system in place, right? A regulatory tax system that allows the businesses, right? To invest their own money to be able to build natural resource projects, including pipelines, right? We need to be able to have our job creators or businesses, private sector, be able to build these things like pipelines, right? That's what pays the bills. That's what creates thousands of jobs for our neighbors and attracts investment, right? It's these major natural resource projects that pay the bills, attract the investment, create the jobs for our friends or families and our neighbors, right? So we need that. Now, look, I can understand why the Premier of Alberta is doing, you know, everything that she can to get a pipeline to Tidewater.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. I can totally understand that.
And the production cap thing was crushing it.
Yeah. Ending the production cap. Yeah. So I can totally understand that. Now where I think Danielle Premier Smith is at fault, because I think there's really two faults. Look, at the end of the day, I believe this higher industrial carbon tax is on Carney.
Yes.
First and foremost, right? Because you've even heard previously Smith say they're going to freeze the carbon tax on business. And now it looks like Carney's like, well, if you want a pipeline, you know, you got to go along to get along. Right. So I see as the main culprit here as Carney for forcing higher industrial carbon taxes on Canadians, including on the province of Alberta.
Yeah.
Where Smith is wrong and where Mo in Saskatchewan deserves credit is that Mo initially said, no carbon tax here in Saskatchewan. We are carbon tax free here in Saskatchewan. And Mo deserves a ton of credit for that. Okay. Where Smith is wrong is that even when she froze the industrial carbon tax, she didn't get rid of it. And we got to call a spade, okay, folks? We have to be willing to criticize every single party, every single politician when they do the wrong thing. And where I see Smith at fault here is when she froze the industrial carbon tax, she wasn't willing to get rid of it. Well, yeah. Guess what? The carbon tax is a carbon tax is a carbon tax. It is an awful tax that makes life more expensive, hurts our economy, and it doesn't even work. And where I see Smith's real initial fault is not standing strong, protecting taxpayers, and getting rid of that industrial carbon tax in the first place.
Because it was the foot in the door, like we were warning. It gives them permission to crank up carbon taxes. If one exists, they're going to take advantage of it. They're going to pressure you. They're going to pin you to the mat, which is, I think, what happened here. Franco, thank you so much for raising this.
Well, hold on a sec. Oh, I just want to say, folks,
sorry.
We're going to keep fighting. The fight is absolutely not over. Mm. No. Right? Hey, it wasn't even that. It was like a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, when everyone, or maybe three, four. Oh, wow. I remember back in 2021, everyone was telling, yo, Franco, be quiet on carbon taxes. They're here to stay, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, right. Right? Because Canadians, ordinary Canadians, tax fighters, CTF supporters didn't stop fighting. We were able to force the Liberal government, right, to get rid of their own favorite carbon tax, the consumer carbon tax. So the fight is absolutely not over, folks. Obviously, some bad news for taxpayers in terms of the higher industrial carbon tax from the federal government and in the agreement with Alberta. But the fight is absolutely not over. We just got Carney on the record admitting that he's cranking up the industrial carbon tax more than six times. So, yeah. The fight will continue, folks.
Folks, to join the fight, head on over to our website, taxpayer.com. Sign the petition to end all carbon taxes. Let's beat this once and for all.